We're still on Halftime in America. This is DJ Bennett with the Kill Radio and Harpers.org weekly news in review. This was posted by Sarah Bressler on the 15th of May, 2012, and does concern the news of the preceding week. One day after North Carolina approved a state constitution amendment banning same-sex marriages, and 3 days after Vice President Joe Biden claimed he was absolutely comfortable with gay marriage, Barack Obama became the first sitting U.S. president to announce that he believes gay couples should be able to wed. During an interview on ABC News, the president, who has long described his views on same-sex marriage as evolving, said he had concluded that for me personally, it is important to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married. He added that a progressive stance on marriage equality, marriage equity, was important for reaching younger voters. They are much more comfortable with it, he said. Newsweek declared Obama the first gay president. 90-year-old Betty White, for the first time in her life, made an endorsement. She endorsed President Barack Obama's re-election bid. And George Clooney hosted a $40,000 a seat celebrity fundraiser for the campaign on his personal basketball court. "We raised a lot of money because everybody loves George," said the president. "They like me. They love him. And rightfully so." A crowd of 34,000 at Evangelical Liberty University cheered presumptive Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney when he reiterated his definition of marriage as a relationship between one man and one woman. "There is no greater force for good in the nation," Romney told the audience, "than Christian conscience in action." Of course, that's pretty hypocritical. Romney's great-grandfather, Helaman Pratt, was a Mormon who so hated the United States that he started a Mormon enclave down in Mexico in order to practice polygamy. He left the United States because of laws against polygamy. So Mr. Romney, with his definition of one man and one woman being a marriage, comes out of a tradition in which it's one man and several women are married. And if that had not been declared illegal, I'm sure that's what he would be doing now, since he feels like he's a privileged guy. Now, as this stuff for marriage equality, I'm well aware that this has to be very, very difficult for people who call themselves fundamentalist Bible believers. I'm old enough that I grew up in a time period, the 50s and 60s, when gay people simply did not exist. They were invisible. The hatred of gayness, of being different, was so strong that we were told over and over again that God destroyed cities because there were homosexuals in them. Homosexuals were treated as a blight on society, the worst possible thing in the world. Well, that's sort of changed. We are more and more accepting of gay people, but it's still very difficult for fundamentalists. They just simply can't get it through their head that, in fact, homosexuality is not a choice and that gay people are just like everybody else. They don't get that. And so it's going to be very difficult. They say that, well, a small percentage, 25% or so, said that this would be held against Mr. Obama. But in fact, marriage equality is really fair. You know, civil unions are not marriages. And we will gradually, as time goes on, accept this more and more. It's already well known that a large percentage of young people have no problem with marriage equality. It's just the older people, my age group, who have the problem with it, because they're holding on to bigotries and prejudices that they've had ingrained in them since they were very young. Of course, it's so difficult. They want to be able to discriminate against people because that's what their religion has taught them. And such things as the North Carolina Amendment, a state constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Do you understand what that is? That's an amendment to say that it's okay to discriminate against people. Of course, that's unconstitutional. It can't hold up. And the courts have got to move in this direction. That's why Obama's good for the country. He's taking us in the right direction rather than backwards, rather than the hypocrisy of someone like a Mitt Romney or the Republicans, who are still telling us endlessly that Mr. Obama's economic policies have failed, despite the fact that we have more jobs than we had during the Bush period. And yeah, things are tough, and it's still tough, and it's going to be tough for a while, but we are moving in the right direction. And that's really what counts. I mean, go back on it. Look at the next story here. High school friends of Romney's recalled a 1965 incident in which they attacked a boy they presumed to be gay and held him down while Romney cut his hair. It was a hack job, said one witness. Now, today that would be called a hate crime. Romney apologizes for what he did, but says he can't remember it. He also refers to it as prep school. Yes, he was a millionaire going to a college prep school, not a public high school. It was a private school. And because he was the son of the governor, he was able to get away with pretty much anything. Now, yeah, I agree that the student whose hair was hacked, who died several years ago, that he shouldn't be used as a political rallying point. I agree with that. I think that's sad. But what we're talking about are the conscience of a man who wants to be president. So yeah, I think it's a fair thing to state and to bring up. Romney's a millionaire who got away with pretty much everything. And now he can just laugh and say, oh, he was just boys being boys. Plus, he claims that it had nothing to do with this kid being gay. We didn't even think like that, he says back then, which is reiterating what I just said, that back in those days, homosexuals were invisible. But in fact, they weren't invisible. If you wanted to insult somebody back in those days, you called them a sissy. You disputed their manhood. And I'm sure that's exactly what was going on here. It's terrible. Meanwhile, Vidal Sassoon, inventor of the five-point cut and the Quan Bob, died at 84. Children's book author and illustrator Maurice Sendak died at 83. An autopsy revealed that painter of light Thomas Kincaid died of an alcohol and Valium overdose. Oh, and J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon said he was dead wrong last month when he dismissed concerns about trading by his bank, which disclosed a loss of $2 billion in botched trades over the past 6 weeks. $2 billion in 6 weeks as a tempest in a teapot. We made a terrible, egregious mistake, Dimon said. There's almost no excuse for it. Now, I understand that Jamie Dimon actually supported President Obama in 2008, but now he's claiming that he's not for Obama because he doesn't want there to be any regulations. Once again, Wall Street wants to remove all regulations so that they can screw up again and go down again and potentially get more bailouts from the U.S. government. We need regulations. We need to put Wall Street back in the can where it belongs. And we need a bigger government. How about that? Hey, I wouldn't even object to socialism. How about that? Meanwhile, Yahoo CEO Scott Thompson stepped down in response to allegations that his official biography included a degree in computer science that he never earned. Details emerged about a recently canceled course at the Joint Forces Staff College in Norfolk, Virginia, called Perspectives on Islam and Islamic Radicalism, in which the instructor, Army Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Dooley, advocated a direct ideological and philosophical confrontation with Islam and outlined a plan in which the Geneva Conventions were no longer relevant and the United States took war to a civilian population whenever necessary. "They hate everything you stand for," said Dooley during one presentation, "and will never coexist with you unless you submit." Yes, that's the old mindset. That's the mindset that got us attacked on September 11th. That's the mindset that says we're right, they're wrong, we're going to win. All of which just leads to more trouble. Like this, an 18-month-old and her parents were pulled off a JetBlue flight when the child was mistakenly identified as being on the U.S. government's no-fly list. And it was reported that an agent working for Saudi Arabian intelligence and the CIA had thwarted a planned al-Qaeda bomb attack on a U.S. airliner by infiltrating a Yemeni al-Qaeda cell, volunteering for the suicide mission, and giving U.S. officials the bomb, which had been sewn into custom-fit underwear that would make it difficult to detect during a pat-down. A court security officer at the arraignment of the five Guantanamo prisoners accused of planning the 9/11 attacks censored the phrase "big boy pants" from the audio feed heard by spectators. And authorities in Martin County, Florida, were searching for a man who walked out of a grocery store with $56 worth of flounder and rock shrimp in his shorts. Iraqi festival goers complained after officials revived an annual cultural festival in Babylon, but replaced the lavish music and dance performances of the Saddam Hussein era with poetry readings and educational activities. Ordinary people like me tried to seek joy and happiness in the festival activities, but we found only artists and intellectuals, said one attendee. It's a total failure. The U.S. Government Accountability Office found that a study it had conducted on the efficacy of a study evaluating the cost to the Pentagon of producing studies was not fully consistent with best practices. A Chicago man named Michael Younger broke into a Family Dollar store with a Bobcat front loader stolen from the construction site of a community center for young mothers. And the rate of international adoption in the United States was reported to have plummeted due to a global crackdown on the sale of babies. The English town of Sandwich celebrated the 250th anniversary of the 4th Earl of Sandwich's request that his meat be wrapped in bread so he could eat it while playing cards. "He's First Lord of the Admiralty 3 times, said a Sandwich celebration festival organizer. But he was a bit of a lad. The British Cheese Board asked songwriters to compose a national cheddar anthem, and parents complained after chocolates shaped like penises, breasts, and copulating couples were distributed at a Mother's Day event at a primary school in Woodbury, Australia. "My 9-year-old grandson gave this Ziploc bag to me," reported one attendee, "and said to me, 'You've got a willy in there, Nanny.'" Thank you, Sarah Bressler. Thank you, Harpers.org. And thank you, audience here at KillRadio.org, for listening to the weekly news and review this week. I'm DJ Bennett. I do The Chill Room, a collage musical thematic program, Friday nights here at 11 p.m. on KillRadio.org. So join me then. And if all goes well, I should be back next week, so we should have some more news then, unless, of course, the world ends. Have a good one.